Thank you, Pastor. This morning, I would like to tell you about the best thing that ever has happened to me after my salvation. It is also the worst thing that ever happened to me. Only in God's economy can events be best and worst at the same time. For our God works all things together for good to those who love him and are called according to his purpose. I'll start at the beginning. I'm from Houston, Texas. I'm a big city girl, and we do think that everything's bigger and better in Texas. My parents started taking me to church 9 months before I was born. Later, I had two sisters. When I was in the first grade, my grandparents moved across the street. It was a wonderful life. The summer before I was in third grade, I attended VBS, and during a prayer on the last day, I decided to look around, and I saw my sister Susan walking down the aisle. Because of her witness, I walked down the aisle as well, and I accepted Jesus as my Savior. We were baptized in August in our Easter dresses, which floated up to the top when we walked into the baptistry. As a little girl, I didn't realize that the congregation could only see my head and shoulders. In sixth grade, I started two disciplines that would stay with me for the rest of my life. I began beginning band, and because I had taken piano lessons, the band director let me start on oboe. I had no idea that that was going to be my life's work. Another discipline came from a youth retreat. We were told about something called a quiet time, and I was convicted and called to begin reading my Bible and spending time with Jesus every day. We were given a notebook with daily questions and readings from the book of 1 John. Spending time with Jesus began to be a part of my life. I mean, sure, I missed some days, but it was the desire of my heart to know him more. As I grew up, I developed a false understanding about life. Though I was taught well in church and read my Bible, I misunderstood God's grace. I had decided that I was important if I was significant and successful. If I performed well, people noticed. So I studied hard and made good grades. I practiced for hours, and I made all-state orchestra my 9th, 10th, and 11th grade years. And I had a lot of friends. But there's a problem when you base your life on performance. You constantly have to perform more, and you begin to look down on those who don't perform as well as you do. And when you don't do well, you feel really bad about yourself. In my heart, I became proud of who I was and what I had accomplished. But God had a plan. One day, I was in the high school cafeteria helping make flags. I was in the flag corps, and as the achiever, I was the captain. And I had a conversation with the Lord as we worked. I asked him to make me humble. I had no idea what I was asking. In my arrogance, I thought he would just bestow that on me. I had no idea that God's way is to bring suffering into our lives to make us more like Jesus. It wasn't on my radar at all. As I began my senior year, life became very hard. I found it difficult to study. I was worried about my future. I was anxious. Often I would cry. I was less interested in practicing. Everything about my life became difficult. Finally, in November, my parents took me to the hospital, and they did all kinds of tests, and they determined that I was suffering from depression. In the 80s, this was a diagnosis that you couldn't tell anyone. The stigma of mental illness was too great. My family told me to tell my friends that I had a blood chemical imbalance, and I lived in fear that someone would find out that I had a mental illness. To make matters worse, the doctors blamed my parents. They decided that I had experienced a terrible childhood, and that was the source of my depression. Of course, it was the furthest thing from the truth, but I could see the agony in my parents' eyes. It was the hardest thing to see that pain when I looked at them. I want to explain a little bit about depression. It's not feeling sad for a day or two or a few weeks. Depression causes trouble concentrating and making decisions. You have feelings of guilt, worthlessness, and helplessness. There is no hope. In my case, it caused me to want to sleep too much. Depression caused me to feel like a failure. It also caused suicidal thoughts. doctors didn't know it in the 80s, but the very medicine that they gave to alleviate depression caused suicidal thoughts in young people. But there was one symptom that was the most painful of all. It was the feeling that Christianity seemed not to work. I would try to have my quiet time, and there was no sense of God's presence. I would pray, and prayers just seemed to hit the ceiling. The time with Jesus that I loved became empty. The peace and the ability to lay my burdens down at his throne of grace was gone. Going to church brought no joy. I felt like I was going to hell. I was put on an antidepressant, which made me gain 40 pounds. No high school senior wants that. I went back to my life, but things weren't right. Everything was terribly difficult. I was still very depressed. One night in the car, my mom was talking to me, and she said, "Alice, you must promise me that you will never take your life." I couldn't believe it. How did she know? How do moms always know? But I did promise her that I would never take my life. That promise would save my life. In spring, the depression left, but in its place came erratic behavior. I talked a lot and had grand ideas. My inhibitions vanished. My parents became alarmed, and they tried to talk to the doctor, but he wouldn't listen. He had no concern about what they were saying. There's no need to go into all my misbehavior, but I would like to give you one example. One weekend, my parents took me up to Lake Conroe, where we had a condo, and they had told me that I was not supposed to be speaking to my boyfriend. And so I waited until they were asleep, and I went outside, I snuck out, and went downstairs a flight, and started checking doorknobs. And one was unlocked, so I went in, and I could hear the people snoring. But I found the telephone, and I talked to my boyfriend for 20 or 30 minutes, and then I went back out. I know that God kept those people sleeping, and I've also always wondered what they thought when they got their phone bill. In the fall, I went to Baylor University. My parents knew things weren't right, but felt they had to let me take that next step. Towards the end of the semester, I was sent home. I was ashamed and embarrassed. All my dreams were dashed. But God had a plan. My parents had found a Christian psychiatrist that they believed, and that he believed what they said. They already knew the diagnosis. Again, I went to the hospital. This time, we were given the news that I had bipolar disorder. I was put on lithium and things improved, but the doctor privately told my parents that I would never graduate from college. He said I'd make C's and D's and just flounder around. But nothing is impossible with God. I went back to Baylor University, and 3 years later, I graduated. My senior year, Ray Still, the Chicago first oboist in their symphony, came to give master classes, and everyone in our studio played for him. My playing would be my audition to study with him for my master's degree at Northwestern University. That evening, we had a party at my professor's house, and Mr. Still told me I could come and study the oboe with him at Northwestern University. All the time I was in college, I suffered from depression, usually from October to April. None of my friends or professors knew, though on medicine, it didn't really relieve the symptoms. But God was working on my heart. Year after year, he was teaching me that if I didn't do anything, He deeply loved me. If I never passed another class, if I never played another note on my oboe, he thought I was important. I didn't have to try to be great to be significant. He taught me two truths that are true about me and they're true about you. We are significant because he created us, and we are significant because he sent his son to save us and pay for our sins. Though I'd been a Christian for 10 years at the time of my senior year, I had not understood those truths. He also taught me to love people, no matter how they acted, just as I often experienced deep pain from depression that nobody knew about. He wanted me to look at others and love them when I didn't know what was going on inside of them. I was to love them before I knew what their hurts were. He also taught me to live by faith. If I had my quiet time and there was no peace, I was to remember that Jesus promised me that he would never leave me or forsake me. My relationship with him was not based on feelings. God was true and his word was true, even when depression made me feel like it didn't work. Give me just a second. After I graduated from Northwestern University, I took a year off before auditioning for Florida State. I felt like the Lord was leading me to do doctorate work. I didn't really feel smart enough, but I came up with a slogan. If God could get me into Florida State, he could get me out. I helped start the graduate Christian group of InterVarsity Fellowship. We met on Friday nights, and we would study the Bible and a lot of times have meals. Since I was the president, I had to meet with the guy who planned our fun activities so we could figure out what we were going to do. And eventually, he and I started planning our wedding. Though my family didn't want me to, I felt like I had to tell Dave about my depression. I needed to know that he would accept me the way I was. I was scared to have that conversation, but in the end, it was no big deal to him. We were married and moved to Atlanta because he was stationed at Fort McPherson. The Air Force did weather support for the Army, and Dave was a weather officer. During our third year of marriage, I had a checkup and discovered there was a mass on my right side. It would require surgery. My parents flew me to Houston, and I underwent a very difficult surgery that could have resulted in a hysterectomy and a colostomy. They discovered I had severe endometriosis. When the surgery was over, the doctor told us that only half of my ability to have children had been taken. There were never two more happy people. We praised God that we could still have a family. But the doctor also told us I would need to take a medicine that caused depression. There was no other way, and there was no other choice. Sure enough, the depression came back, this time with a vengeance. Dave was gone a lot with his job, so my mom came to stay with me. Although I love her dearly, I really didn't want her to be there when I was newly married. Soon after she left, the feelings of hopelessness became overwhelming. At that time, I was playing for the Atlanta Passion Play. We would sit in an orchestra pit while the members of the First Baptist Atlanta Choir were telling the story of Jesus in song and drama. It was compelling and inspiring. But on the way home, I would think about turning that steering wheel. If I could just have a crash, then it would all be over and that terrible pain would be gone. But I'd grip it and say, no, God, I can't do that. I didn't veer off the road. One day when I was at home, I was feeling those suicidal thoughts and they became very overwhelming. I saw the knife block was full of knives that we had received as a wedding present. And I really thought about using them. But finally, I realized I just had to get out of the house. And so I started walking around our subdivision, and the only thing I could think of to do was to sing Jesus Loves Me. So I cried, and I sang, and I was okay. God saved me through that children's song. Shortly after that, the manic phase began, and this was completely unknown to Dave and much harder to deal with, but God had a plan. He made David Gordon Bigger the kind of man who sticks to his decisions. Sometimes I don't like it, but when Dave makes a decision, it is very hard to get him to change his mind. During this difficult period of our marriage, he never used the divorce word. He could have very easily felt like he didn't get what he was signed up for. And yet, in a way, he did, because he had promised for richer, for poorer, in sickness and in health. He is my prince. Finally, my mood stabilized. There would be one more episode of depression when our daughter was 10. At that time, my doctor advised that I never quit taking my medicines. She said I might have a time with no depression when I was off my meds, but when it came back, it would be very bad. She didn't have to convince me. I was and am willing to take medicine for the rest of my life. And to God's glory, I have been depression-free for 15 years. I'm careful to exercise and eat right and get enough sleep, and I know that Dave will tell me if I get out of line. The fact that I'm standing here today as God's doing, it's a miracle. Only with his help was I able to endure so many hard years. You may wonder why I decided to share when previously I had kept it a secret. I can tell you that I had to think about it for decades, but I have come to a point where I want Christian people to understand about mental illness more than I care about my reputation. The United States is experiencing an epidemic of mental illness. In those that are under 18 years of age, suicide is the second leading cause of death. In those 50 and under, overdose is the leading cause of death. And I believe that many of those are because people are depressed. In my experience, Christians often have uninformed ideas about depression. Dave and I had one pastor who said, "Oh, if you're feeling depressed, just go and do something for other people." I'll tell you, if I could have baked a cake for everyone in my church and it would have taken my depression away, I would have done it. Another church solution to depression I have heard is that it's a spiritual issue. If you would get right with God and read your Bible, your depression would lift. That makes no sense. Do we tell diabetics to get right with the Lord and read their Bible and their blood sugar will be okay? Do we tell those with high blood pressure that if they join a small group, their numbers will come down? Of course not. Our brains are an organ that God fearfully and wonderfully made, but because of the fall, it can malfunction. And when it does, people need medical attention and counseling. I have heard Christians say that you should not even be on medicine for depression. I hope that my story will help you see mental illness in a different way. When you discover someone that has depression, I hope that you will encourage them to get help. I love the Lord because he heard my voice. He heard my cry for mercy. Because he turned his ear to me, I will call on him as long as I live. The cords of death entangled me. The anguish of the grave came over me. I was overcome by distress and sorrow. Then I called on the name of the Lord. Lord, save me. The Lord is gracious and righteous. Our God is full of compassion. The Lord protects the unwary, and when I was brought low, he saved me. Return to rest, my soul, for the Lord has been good to you. For you, Lord, have delivered me from death, my eyes from tears, my feet from stumbling, that I may walk before the Lord in the land of the living. Would you pray with me? Father God, only you can save. You are the only one that's all-powerful and all-knowing. You are all-sufficient. I pray for those who hear this testimony while experiencing depression. Let them know that they are not alone. Bring them help. Keep them from despair. And help them know that things will get better. For those who have a loved one or friend that committed suicide, I ask that you will heal their broken hearts. You are close to the brokenhearted, and you help those who are crushed in spirit. Please have mercy on our country. There are so many who are mentally ill and in despair. Let this church and all churches be part of the solution and not a stumbling block to those who are depressed. I ask that you would raise up godly Christian psychiatrists who can help those who are suffering to lead normal lives. Only you, Jesus, could make the very worst thing that happened to me be the best thing that happened to me. For that is the kind of God you are. I thank you and give you glory. In the strong and powerful name of Jesus, amen.